Hi, welcome to Redwood Wonk. I'm Matthew Owen.
And I'm Eric Kirk.
This week we discuss the Republicans having to go home to sell the big beautiful bill, soldiers in MacArthur Park, and where is the Epstein list? Good evening. You're either watching or listening to Redwood Wonk. My name is Eric Kirk.
And I'm Matthew Owen.
And we are here to discuss national political news of the day. It's been a very busy week. Maybe we'll start with the tragic events in Texas. I think it's over 100 presumed dead because of a huge flash flood. A lot of questions happening about, you know, whether or not federal or local services were okay, were adequate. But what is really bad is that, a number of girls at a camp drowned. I think there's still dozens missing. And it's led to a big discussion about whether or not we should be abandoning FEMA, as has been proposed by the current administration.
And the National Weather Service.
Yeah, the National Weather Service, right. And I've been reading the stories and watching the stories, and I think the consensus is that the weather predictions were fine, but there's questions about whether or not the warning systems were adequate and whether or not the cuts had any impact on that. And then there are questions about whether Texas, whether their systems were working. And then there's questions about whether anything could have prevented the deaths. Right. You know, it's just, we don't know. And unfortunately, we're in a, you know, political climate where fingers get pointed before we even know what happened.
But what is political about weather and Mother Nature? I mean, you don't mess with Mother Nature. We've learned that whether it's an earthquake, a hurricane, or a massive flash flood, there's nothing you can do to stop it. And it's not a Democratic flood. It's not a Republican flood. It's just Mother Nature flood.
Go ahead.
I don't get the politics behind weather.
Well, I mean, I think part of the politics is there's been a lot of warnings about the DOGE cuts to the Weather Service, that there have been concerns about it. And so, that this could cause problems. And so if it did cause problems, people want to say, okay, let's reverse that. If it didn't, then, well, maybe we were overstaffed, right? But that should be the subject of a congressional investigation if Congress ever wants to actually do something.
Is there, still have a Congress, Eric?
Yeah, right. I mean,
I'm confused. I don't think we have a Congress anymore.
Right. It's I have to say that there are meteorologists, even those who are critical, even more than critical of the administration and DOGE, who said that the predictions were as good as they could get. Because this was a surprise. This was just one of those things that happened that they could not predict in enough time that this was going to happen. It was, a 1,000-year event or something like that. Questions about the warning system. And I'll leave that to the experts. I don't have an opinion.
Right. It was like the fires down in L.A. in January when you have 95-mile-an-hour winds and embers in the air just flying across block by block by block. You don't know how bad it's going to get. I mean, 95-mile-an-hour winds are probably once every 100 years in L.A.
Right. Yeah, no, and hot winds. I mean, it's and you don't want to be like President Trump, who initially blamed it on the removal of the dams on the Klamath River, 700 miles away.
I thought he was blaming because we didn't do enough raking on the forest.
Well, right. Of course, there are no forests, but down there, it's if you want to blame it on something, maybe blame it on the idea that maybe you shouldn't have built a mega city on a desert. I don't know. It's just that there have been people who said something like that was inevitable. But anyway, we're on the topic of the flood, and it's really bad. I do want to point out something. Mexico was one of the first response team to get people in there to help out.
Right. That's how we should be acting with our allies and our neighbors. I mean, anyone who's a human being, if my neighbor had a problem, I'd be there for them, whatever they needed. So.
Yeah. Interesting development in Mexico. There are Mexican protests against American immigrants. I don't know if you saw that. In Mexico City, it's actually about the gentrification, Americans are buying up property down there. It's driving up the prices. They're buying with American dollars rather than pesos. And they're not learning how to speak learning how to speak Spanish.
Okay. You mean they're ugly Americans?
Yeah, exactly. And so it's interesting. Although the government doesn't mind when Americans are going down there because they bring the money and it sort of helps the economy, but things that can help and hurt the economy. As one person said, Americans are doing to certain parts of Mexico what the high tech industry is doing to the Bay Area. It's good for certain aspects of the economy, but not if you're a working class person trying to live there.
It just drives up the prices for everybody.
Yeah. It's just so it's a difficult one. Gentrification, by the way, isn't always a bad thing if it's somewhat monitored and not done so that it goes crazy. It can actually improve a neighborhood and done, but it's got to be managed. It's got to be so it doesn't get control. It can help things out, but if it takes over, you've got a problem where San Francisco doesn't have teachers because a teacher can't afford to commute all the way from Sacramento.
Right. If
you have any questions or comments, email us at redwoodwonk@gmail.com.
You can listen to Redwood Wonk on KZZH 96.7 FM every Tuesday and Thursday night at 8 p.m.
Can we move on to the big, beautiful bill? Because that's something I really want to talk about.
Let's talk about the big, beautiful bill, which already has its first injunction against it, by the way. Injunction against there's a specific provision in it that bars any Medicaid funding for Planned Parenthood. And the judge has already said, you can't name a specific organization and discriminate against it without a rational basis. And they're saying, just to prevent abortion, we already have under the Hyde Amendment that Medicaid money can't be used for abortion. So judge has already granted an injunction against that. But what else?
Do you think Republicans who voted for this bill are going to do town halls?
I don't know. It's not popular, even with a lot of MAGA people.
Most MAGA people don't even know what's in the bill, and as they're finding out, they're not happy.
No, and they oppose. I mean, all of the polls showed it really bad when it was explained as to what was in it, and Republicans are hoping that because the tax breaks go in a year before a lot of the bad stuff happens,
social service cuts, right?
That it'll help them out, but. I think Mike Lee, one of the Republicans, I think he's Utah.
Correct.
Yeah. I think he and a few other Republicans made a big mistake. Went on to Face the Nation and said, oh, no, we got it covered. We were smart. We put the tax breaks in a year before we had the Medicare cuts, saying this on national television.
He said it out loud?
Exactly. With a big grin on their face, like they were so clever. I mean, it reminded me of Sarah Palin in the debate against the VP debate in 2008.
Against Joe Biden.
She was She was asked a question, and I know her handlers and prepping her for the debate probably told her, if you asked a question and you don't like the question, you don't have to answer the question because people aren't paying that close attention. So you can say whatever you want. But then, of course, she's asked the question. She says, oh, I don't have to answer that question. I can say what I want. And they're probably cringing because you're not supposed to say it out loud. That brings everybody's attention to it, you know. But anyway.
There's some cute AI memes going around that, you know, I don't care that I lost my health care and they're cutting my food stamps. At least we own them libtards. That's what matters. Yeah. Or they say, right. I don't care if I lost my health care and I'm going to get 20% less in my food. But the important thing is there's trans kids that are not going to be playing basketball against my daughter.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's just, it's pretty amazing. But I actually think that this one is going to hurt them. And we'll talk a little in a little bit about another story that broke that is splitting up MAGA. But, you know, I mean, there is a lot of stuff that they're going to have to account for in there. And it's going to impact the red states even more than the blue states.
And the red counties, because they have rural hospitals. And these hospitals are looking through this saying, these are draconian cuts. We're going to either have to cut services or shut down our hospitals. There's another AI meme that came out and goes, the nurse says, doctor, the patient's complaining of shortness of breath and chest pains. And he looks over the chart and goes, oh, God, Medicaid. Give him two aspirins and tell him to come back in 3.5 years.
Yeah. I mean, there is a list put out of the potential hospitals that can be closed because of this. And two of them are here, right here in Humboldt County.
Arborville?
Gerald Phelps, possibly, because they're facing problems already because they've got to get these retrofits done by 2030, and they're scrambling to raise money for that. And if they're being affected, and also possibly Mad River, which has also had its problems financially. We can't afford to lose more health care here, right? I mean, it's just it's really bad. And we're not as bad off as places across the country. And, you know, it's so I mean, there is that. Now, you know, and I think they also I think what they're going to get is people are going to like the fact that tips aren't being taxed anymore. That's something that should have been done years ago.
Except that's capped. Yeah. Just as overtime is capped. Overtime's capped at $12,000.
Right. And we do get back a little bit more of the state tax deduction.
The salt. That,
you know, it's been increased from 10,000 to 40,000. It's you know, so that covers everybody. And also, Social Security payments aren't taxed, but most people who are on Social Security don't pay taxes anyway. So what this ends up being is just another little gift for people who are affluent. Who, you know, have to pay taxes, and they just get another $20 off of their taxes. It's not going to affect much.
And I'm actually looking that up.
Yeah, I mean, it's just there are going to be some stuff. The other thing is that most of the working class tax breaks are they have sunset provisions, but the big ones. That are really going to be the deficit creators, those are permanent unless Congress changes them in the future.
And usually they only have a 10-year provision, but when they sunset. And most of the tax breaks are going to the wealthy and the corporations. Actually, I just looked it up. If you make more than $44,000 filing a joint return, 85% of your Social Security can get taxed. Now, if you're making under $32,000 on a joint return, then it's tax-free. But $32,000 of Social Security or total income is poverty wages.
Yeah, so you wouldn't have to pay taxes anyway. So what does that even mean?
And lot of elderly people are living off Social Security only. That's their only income.
Yeah, so they would not. But the point is, it doesn't mean anything because they wouldn't have had to pay taxes before. You don't even have to file a return. You know, if you I don't know what they. I guess it sounds good. So, I mean, the Medicaid cuts, and then they say, well, we've got this work requirement. Well, do you have jobs? And then what is her name? The Secretary of Agriculture, Buckland.
No idea. Buckland?
I mean, she said something crazy today.
Shocking. Yeah, Brooke Rollins.
Brooke Rollins. She said, we have got it under control, telling all the farmers who've lost their labor, which, by the way, in 2018, 49% of all the farm labor was not undocumented. I don't think, you know, it's changed, and farmers are panicking. There are crops rotting right now. But did you hear what she said?
No.
Okay. She gets up and says, we support the mass deportations because we've got, first of all, farmers are switching to machines. Well, the agribusiness can do that, not family farms. And we've got able-bodied Medicare recipients who can go work the farms. Now, there have been tests, experiments, if you don't start doing farm work when you are like in your teens or early 20s, and you try to start when you're in your 30s, you don't last a day. I mean, they've had people go out there and doing it, even athletes, even people who are athletes. It is the most rigorous thing.
Back-breaking and knee-breaking work.
Yeah, and I actually spoke to a local farmer here who said, on the West Coast, I wouldn't hire anybody but a Mexican or a Filipino. There's nobody else out here who can do it. Other parts of the country, maybe other groups, some of them can do it. But no, it is, you know, because people if you haven't done it and haven't been doing it from a pretty young age and learned how to do it when you were at your peak strength, you are not going to make it. I mean, it's just can't be done. I mean, it is. Anybody wants to look at it, there's plenty of YouTube videos of them in action. I mean, it is. And it's not worth it unless it makes enough money for you to send home to your family that it makes a big difference in their lives. That's why it's done by people from other countries.
But there's other industries also. Slaughterhouses are primarily Hispanic workers. And here's the crazy thing, the hospitality industry. I think we've talked about this before, but you go in a hotel in a major urban city, 80-90% of the housekeeping is Hispanic. If you go in the kitchens behind the scenes, the dishwashers, the food preppers, 80-90% of them are Hispanic. Yeah. And if they start deporting these people, who the hell is going to work?
Well, it's not even the deportations. It's the people who haven't been deported yet who are afraid to show up. I mean,
and that's what's happening with construction sites across the country.
Yeah.
Hispanic labor, which is in Southern Cal, that's half the work group minimum, aren't showing up.
Well, as of 2018, 83% of farm labor was Hispanic. Probably another 8 or 9% is Filipino. In the South, there is still some African-American labor. Very little of it is white at this point. And yes, there has been a lot of mechanization that reduces it, but there's certain things that could really only be done by hands.
And there's something else we need to talk about is SNAP, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, AKA, that's the debit card for food stamps now. They're cutting funding on 20% for the average person. And I forget the number, but in Humboldt County, I believe there's over 20,000 families that get food from Food for People. And families are probably, 2.5 people per family? So I'm trying to do the math here in my head going, we've got 50,000 people out of 135 that are receiving food subsidies, and they're probably on something for SNAP, and school lunch programs and breakfast programs are going away.
Yeah, no. And there were Republicans that were gleeful about that. They're on television. We've killed free lunches for kids.
Why would you be gleeful about a poor child not getting food? I don't get it.
I know. And I've been in the schools, you know, the free breakfast, it's a great thing.
I'm part of Rotary Club, and we started something called Backpacks for Kids because it came to our attention that, and a lot of these schools with low-income kids, they get their last meal on the Friday free lunch And they kind of go hungry over the weekend until the Monday free breakfast.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these parents don't have food in their fridge because they'd rather spend money on drugs, alcohol, and cigarettes.
Yeah.
So don't ask me, but I can tell you from my daughter's growing up, all her friends would come over to our house because we had that magic thing, food in the fridge. So they came over and ate all the time. So
no, it's really going to get bad. And unless it gets turned around.
But if you tell the average person who's on SNAP that, hey, we're going to take away 20% of your food benefits, and they're going, we're barely getting by right now. Hunger is not a good thing for America.
No, it's not.
I missed that part of the Bible where Jesus said, don't feed the poor. They don't deserve food.
Yeah, right. Well, of course, you have the concept. There's the deserving poor and the not deserving poor, right? You know, and it's just we have this concept of, you
know, okay, I know what that stands for. That's if you're poor white, you're deserving. If you're poor black or brown, you're undeserving.
Right.
I get the dog whistle there, Eric. But here's the problem. When you get into mega counties, it's primarily 90%, well, not, I shouldn't say that. It's majority white people. And when they start going hungry, and when they find out that they lost any assistance with rents, when they find out they can't get health care and people are dying, and I'm just going to look at them and say, you voted for it. What did you expect? It's like the thing we keep hearing. Yeah. No, I voted to get rid of the criminals and the drug dealers, the Hispanics out of here. I didn't know the guy who has a job who's been here 20 years and his kids go to school with my kids. I didn't know you're going to deport him.
Yeah.
So.
Well, let's talk a little bit, since we're going into the deportation a bit, there's a few things going on. One thing is San Francisco got pretty intense. Did you see what happened down there?
No, what happened in San Francisco?
Oh, God. There was street battles between protesters and mass people on Marcus Street, 100 Montgomery. And I don't know if they were ICE agents or bounty hunters because they don't identify themselves, but they did not look like they were people who were trained. They were getting into shoving matches and with the demonstrators, but not in any kind of an orderly way. They were just basically swinging and hitting back, and they got into a car, and the protest, you know, basically they grabbed somebody, and protesters are on the front of the car, and the car takes off and starts running and going at high speed, and the protesters fell off, and it's a miracle nobody was seriously hurt.
My roommate from college died from an accident exactly like how you just said. He was on a hood of a car, in gear, and he fell off and hit his head and died.
No, and if they were bounty hunters, that could have been a murder charge. You know, but police have some immunity, but police wouldn't do that. That's and why I'm thinking, you know.
I got to mention this, too. One thing that freaks me out is when you see these people are going after ICE agents, et cetera, they're coming out with military-style assault weapons. Why?
Yeah.
You're going to arrest someone. You were not having a shootout in Fallujah. Why do you need an assault weapon to go arrest a 60-year-old Hispanic woman?
Yeah.
I sit there. I don't get what they're doing. I literally don't get it.
I don't either. If you have any questions or comments, email us at redwoodwonk@gmail.com.
You can listen to Rub and Wonk on KZZH 96.7 FM every Tuesday and Thursday night at 8 p.m.
Now let's talk a little bit about what happened in Los Angeles. Los Angeles
is different. They're getting activists are getting organized. I forget they have some little chat thing that they tell when ICE agents are going out and the protesters come out in force. But also the Hispanics are getting smart when they hear what ICE agents are going. They tell them, get the hell away from there. Right. So they showed up at MacArthur Park and there was no Hispanics and hundreds of protesters.
Well, have you that MacArthur Park was something called Project Excalibur. Have you heard about that yet?
No.
Okay, tell us about what happened in MacArthur Park, and then we'll get to that.
Well, the great thing that happened is when I showed up there, there were no Hispanics and hundreds of protesters, and the protesters were nonviolent but got confrontational, and we're seeing that happen over and over again, but they were nonviolent. Yeah. That's the key thing to make it work. Once you start shooting at ICE agents or throwing rocks at them, all hell's going to break loose because one of them's going to shoot back, and that's going to be bad. But it's great when they show up and there's no Hispanics there, because what we're finding out in L.A., they're just grabbing people at random when they do these raids who are brown skin. I mentioned earlier, there's an attorney in Santa Ana, which is in Orange County, was at a park one day, and they just started rounding up brown people. They didn't ask her, are you an American citizen? Do you have ID? They just grab people, zip tie them, and throw them in a van, take them to the detention center, and work on it a couple hours later. And she happened to be an attorney, so that's going to be fun to get all that worked out.
All right, this is what I encourage people to Google Project Excalibur. That's what this is about. This was a specific event. It wasn't just ICE agents; it was Border Patrol and other national authorities that went into the park. And by the way, they did walk right through a children's day summer camp. I mean, it's just ridiculous. They didn't know they were doing that, but you know, they should have, right? If you're going to do a paramilitary operation, you should know that there is a children's day camp going on there, right? I mean, that's like intel that should be aware of. So maybe you could take it to a different part of the park. But they were hoping that their intel said that these gang members of what is it, MX, whatever?
MS-13.
They're 13 have been operating in the park, and they were hoping to provoke a conflict with that gang, which is stupid because the gang sees them coming and they're going to say, okay, we're taking the day off here, right?
They're not going to. They're heavily they're armed. Stupid. We're going to lose the shootout.
Right. They're not going to do that. You know, I mean, it's just it was absolutely stupid if that's what they were expecting. You know, they're going to show up and you know, they're not going to be there every day. So the gang will come back the next day or, you know, whatever. And do their drug dealing or whatever it is they do there. But that was the idea, was to try to provoke something. And the reason is because you mentioned something earlier. And maybe San Francisco needs to have similar meetings, but they're holding community meetings in Los Angeles, telling people, don't be violent with ICE.
Right.
Don't provoke. Don't do anything to do that. If they grab somebody, they're going to take them. You can't stop it.
Right.
You know, it's take the fight somewhere else later, but don't provoke them. It's, you know, they look bad. If you do, but if you provoke them, then you look bad. I mean, they're doing all the nonviolence projects. And so with all of these troops on there, where I think Trump was hoping would provoke something, it's completely useless because the demonstrators are becoming more and more disciplined there. And so that's when you had Mayor Bass walk in, do her photo op with a phone call saying, are you leaving? Leave now. Contact the Border Patrol. And they left. And all she did was show up. And, of course, the DHS is talking about arresting her and charging her. But all she did was show up with cameras and make a phone call. I mean, it's just, you know, and they're not going to do that because that would be the biggest political mistake in the world. That's, you know, that's the same reason they weren't going to do it to Gavin Newsom.
Well, they did tackle a United States senator and put him in cuffs.
Yeah. But they didn't charge him, right? You know, I mean, it's just, you know, they're not going to do that. They're not going to. They know that that would be the dumbest thing in the world. It would be the, you know, they would charge him and they would demand a speedy trial and you know, and where are they going to get a jury that would convict her? Right.
I mean, it's in defense, Eric, his last name was Padilla. And he did have brown skin, so I could see why they arrested him. So,
yeah, right.
That's a joke, by the way.
He didn't know who he is, right?
Are you familiar with Andy Mills, our former police chief here in the city of Eureka?
Yes.
He went on the Santa Cruz police chief, and he's now in Palm Springs police chief. He's been making a lot of news on Facebook lately because he's been screaming at these people, you can't have people with masks on who look like they're going to war. There's no name tags. There's no identifying thing. Are they ICE? Are they Homeland Security? What are they? And they're literally just zip tying people and throwing them in unmarked cars and zipping away. Is it a kidnapping or is it an immigration arrest? And he says, you need to tell us what it is. Because when people are seeing people being kidnapped off the street, by strange people, because we've already talked about this. What happens when some guys just say, hey, let's go grab a woman and kidnap her for some sort of sexual fantasy?
Well, what's going to start crazy guys and like that's that? Been happening. And there have been a couple more incidents of that. There was a robbery that person said they were ICE agent and they ended up robbing a store just over the weekend.
Does ICE do robberies now?
Yeah, there's also another issue is there was a guy who showed up to a meeting in Seattle saying their bounty hunters are about to be brought in en masse, and they're going to grab. They're claiming that it's $1,000 a person for a non-criminal, 1,500. Yeah, I mean, and it's just and they're going to be doing it. Well, if you're a bounty hunter, don't have the same protection legally. And technically speaking, people can defend themselves against it. This is going to trigger everything. So how do you know if a masked person is a bounty hunter or an official ICE agent?
You don't. Or how do you know if they're not neither and they're just some crazy person off the street who's looking for a sex slave?
Right. And so let's say an ICE agent gets seriously injured or even killed, and then in the courtroom, a good defense lawyer says, "Hey, he didn't know that was an ICE agent. He thought it was a bounty hunter or a robber.
He never identified himself."
Right. Yeah. But won't a robber say that? I mean,
And for the record, I fly a lot, and I've had four enhanced, I can't say interrogations, enhanced screenings at TSA checkpoints in the last 2 months. I probably had four enhanced screenings the last 20 years, but in the last 2 months, I've had four enhanced screenings. They asked for my cell phone again, but this time I said the magic thing. Why? I do not consent. He goes, no, I'm just going to wipe it down the outside for bomb residue. And I go, that's fine. The previous guy plugged it into a computer for 30 seconds and did a data dump. And he looks at me and goes, where'd that happen? I go, here. In Las Vegas. And he goes, I didn't know that. Yes. So,
yeah.
Foreign hands.
Well, at least you don't have to take your shoes off anymore. They've announced that.
Thank you. And I think it's all because they see my Facebook posts and I'm not on my knees for our dear leader. So they don't like that.
Well, Mayor Bass has filed suit.
Gavin Newsom.
Yeah. And, about this, and it's like, and you've got they did this thing going down the middle of the street with ICE people and the Marines walking on flanking them on both sides, and it's like nobody's gonna attack a caravan of ICE people going down the middle of the street.
Why do we have the Marines with paramilitary gear in the middle of U.S. cities?
Well,
it's
that's
made for combat. They're showing up with these Humvees that are made for combat. Why?
Yeah, I know. It's like, do they think that's a good look? I mean, it's not. But it's that is the state. Now, there was also a group of crazy people, young people, that took a shot at an ICE thing in Texas.
Do not do that.
No,
when they do that, they're just going to start shooting at crowds.
Right. It just makes me wonder,
we don't need Kent State all over America again.
No. And it does make me now all 11 that were involved. They would look like they're barely teenagers.
That's because they're typically 19 to 21 year old kids.
Obviously, had read the wrong book or saw the wrong movie or something and thought they could be like the French Resistance, whatever. But that's the type of thing that is going to lead to something, because if they see somebody else dressed up like a ninja like they were, then that's going to be something is going to happen. Luckily, the person they shot is recovering.
Good,
but it's but those kids have ruined their lives, and they for what? They're a self-described anarchist group apparently, and it just was anyway. It's really sad, but that's not what anybody needs. That's not what helping immigrants. It's not is not doing anything to prevent fascism. If anything, that's going to help it. That's right. You know, it's like the crazy guy that burned the Reichstag down. Right. That helped Hitler. It didn't hurt him. Right.
And,
so,
and also that's just fodder for Fox News. Look at these Democrats out of control. That's why you got to elect Republicans. They're shooting on.
Of course, anarchists don't vote at all usually, but still,
I understand.
It's just so anyway. Also in the news, cracks in MAGA because Pam Bondi comes on and a reporter asks the question. So for an update on the Epstein file, Trump gets angry, says, "We've got these floods and everything to talk about, and you're asking me about Epstein?" And then Pam Bondi says, "Well, I'll answer the question. Back in February, I wasn't lying. I was referring to my file, not a list. There is no list." And all of a sudden, across the
conspiracy theory
internet.
You think Jeffrey Epstein didn't keep a list of every rich white guy that went out with minors?
And there are people on MAGA saying, "I was with you through Russiagate. I was with you through the steal. I was with you through January 6th. I was with you, but I can't do you. Now you are dishonoring the children who were molested." Right. And they're saying that they can't be with Trump anymore. Alex Jones did a tearful, you know, thing. They've been losing Tucker anyway.
Tucker's gotten – it's crazy thing. I got to say something real quick, Eric. I've actually liked Tucker Carlson recently, and I've never said that before in my life. He's going after the Republicans hard, and he's asking the follow-up questions, which they never, ever did on Fox News. But everyone's asking, whose name might be on the list that Trump does not want to have it released?
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, could it be Trump? I mean, you know,
he
flew on Epstein's airplane. Epstein flew on his airplane. I mean, you know, it's just, it's hardly, you see the dancing there with the young women, girls, right? Whatever.
Could it be that Trump had affairs with underage women back in the days?
No. And Elon is back to commenting on that. You know, he's
going to piss Trump off.
Yeah,
there goes the EV subsidies.
I think he already figured they're gone, and so he's going for broke. I don't know. It's just I mean it's bizarre, and especially now that Grok, his AI program, has become a Nazi. Have you heard about that?
No, what happened here?
Oh, Grok, you know, that's his AI program, right? You can tap, ask questions, and it's a Holocaust denying AI.
Now, what's the name? Can you spell the name of his AI?
Grok, G-R-O-K. It's a word from Robert Heinlein's "Stranger in a Strange Land" means to understand, Martian word, and it's and it's his version of, I forget what the other one is that everybody uses for writing. And so you ask it questions and it answers and it does research and it talks to you and actually has conversations with you. And I don't know if people influenced it somehow, but it went off the deep end. It denied the Holocaust. It called itself Tech Hitler or something like that, and then later claimed to be joking or being sarcastic. I mean, it was just like, and it trying to come back down. One commentator described it, compared it to Dr. Strangelove trying to pull his arm down back into his lap, if you ever saw that.
Oh, God. Okay. Can you guys say something about AI right now? A lot of corporations have jumped on the AI bandwagon. You call the 800 number for a Fortune 500, and he goes, "Hi, my name's Jane. I'm here to assist you." And all you say is you hit zero. "Hi, what can I assist you with? I don't understand that." And they say, "Human being." "Hi, which human being can we get you to? You need to be more specific." Yes. And you start talking to it, and you cannot get a human being on the line.
I had
an incident while I was at an airport, and I started yelling into my phone, "Get me a goddamn human being." And it wouldn't do that. And I kept saying, "Representative, representative, zero, zero." And I could not get a human being.
Yeah. So. No, I use an AI program for legal research, And I can tell you just from some of the results that you, attorneys better check them, because I'm after some of the legal research results, AI is not going to take over the world anytime soon. It's just giving me bogus thoughts. Well, you got to be real careful as to your input as to how you ask the questions, and it misreads cases. It like gives you a case. It says you ask it a question, and then it gives you a case, you know, to support the proposition. And you read the case, and it's like that case doesn't say that, you know. But people are not checking it, and they're getting into trouble with judges because they don't second check it. They don't do it, and it's like my AI, you know, did it. I mean, it's just like it's ridiculous. What it does is it looks for keywords, and you know, and pulls out, and through its algorithm, it says, well, that must be what it says because it's got all the right words in it. It's like, yeah, well, it might have all the right words in it, but it could be saying the opposite of what you think it's saying. I mean, it boggles the mind. But I mean, most of the time it's helpful, but you got to use it. Don't use it as the end all be all in research. Use it as finding cases that might take you longer to find as a guideline, and then look at the cases cited by that case. Just use it as a base, just like you'd use a search engine. It's like a complex search engine. But to some, no, I mean, there's all kinds of issues with it. And so people using Grok, yeah, they're just asking it all kinds of weird questions, and it's just gone weird. And Elon has got a problem because he's got a fascist robot right now he's going to deal with.
Well, that sounds like perfect for Elon. So
it is. But I mean, just going on. And of course, the Republicans are upset because the Democrats most of the Democrats don't care as much about Epstein, but they see MAGA screaming about it. So they're kind of, you know, egging MAGA on. And Republicans are like saying, oh, all of a sudden you care about it now that, you know, we've got this problem. It's like the Democrats are, you know, just like doing this because, yeah, all of a sudden it's a cover up. Oh, Trump isn't clearing out the swamp. He's making it deeper, one MAGA person said.
Speaking of the swamp, we heard about alligator Alcatraz.
Yeah.
Down in Florida, they're basically doing open air kennels for human beings in the middle of a swamp that has no roofing on it. It can't protect against hurricanes, against flooding, and God forbid a poisonous snake wants to go through the cages. It's going to be insane, but it plays well on Fox News for being cruel to immigrants.
Oh, and this is the other thing. The UN was asking El Salvador about the conditions and why, and about Trump's claim that once the inmates are in their prison, that Trump has no, that Trump is powerless to say anything about it. And El Salvador sent a memo to the UN saying, no, these are their prisoners. We'll do whatever they want.
And we've already got Abreu Garcia back.
Yeah, right. And they're right. But it's a completely undermining. Now, will El Salvador one hand say a different thing and Trump come out, you know, and get them to say, oh, no, we're not letting them go. You know, but it's because if you've got a regime like the Salvadoran regime, they don't mind lying to one group and, you know, lying to the other group. I mean, it's just, the interesting thing is, you know, the question is Pam Bondi, they talked about having all these names in these lists.
Right.
So is she lying now or was she lying back then?
And Trump said when he got elected, I'm going to release the Epstein files and I'm going to release the JFK files. Yeah. 62 years later, we still don't know what the government didn't tell us.
Yeah.
They're afraid to find out the U.S. government may have been involved in the killing of JFK or the cover-up of who the killers were.
My theory has always been, because governments don't need a big excuse to cover things up, is that if there was a second killer, they were so obsessed with catching Oswald that the trail got cold and that they knew that America wouldn't stand for that, and they just covered it up because heads would roll if there. So basically, they covered up their own incompetence. But you know, who knows? I mean, that's that would be the most benign one possible. But the who knows? I mean, the JFK movie was kind of silly. I don't know if you ever watched it.
What if Oliver Stone was right?
Yeah. Well, Oliver Stone took the rule that, hey, if something's in publication, it's fair game to put into my movie. Right.
Right.
So there's a lot of stuff in publication. But there was some stuff that was true. I mean, the Warren Commission report was a whitewash. It was,
It was a joke. If I'm an assassin, do you think I'm going to use my name and send a rifle to my P.O. box?
Yeah, no. And the bullet, but anyway, it's just there's a lot there. And the fact that the coincidences of all the people just dying, I mean, it's just,
So why is the Trump administration not releasing the JFK unredacted files?
Yeah, I know. And aren't they supposed to release the Martin Luther King file?
Haven't heard that one yet, but I don't know why they would not do that one either.
I think it was 2025. I think they were supposed to release it. But anyway, I mean, I don't know. And they're supposed to also release all the files on the UFOs. He was going to tell us if there were UFOs, right?
Trump would actually be a popular president if he told the truth and released the facts.
Yeah. It would be, but I don't know. I don't know if he gets in there and they tell him things or he doesn't like it. But if he's on the Epstein list, he was never going to release that. I mean, it's just wasn't going to happen. So, I mean, we've got these things happening. The New York mayor race is heating up, and I think people are taking the wrong lesson. From this win. I mean, of course, the Democratic Party left wants to say, see, this is a win for far left politics, and it certainly is. But he won because he spoke to issues that mean things to people. Democrats are not speaking to everyday issues of affordability. Right. He did. He listened. All of them were asked if you will go to another country, where will you go? They said Israel, whatever. He said, I'm going to stay here in New York. That's what they wanted to hear.
Right.
He knows how to do it, and they're attacking him. And today, I mean, the opposition thinks that they've got him because when he was 13 years old, he did a skateboard thing where he did a double flip or something and stuck his tongue out at a statue of a cop.
Yep.
I mean, if that's the best that they've got, and he's 13 years old or 17 years old because he made a mistake on how he filled out a college application at a college he didn't even get into. If they really wanted to do this, they need to look at the lesson of how he won in terms of the populism. They don't have to adopt his politics, but to figure, we won, first of all, because the two Democrats in there that are running as independents are both tied up into corruption. Stop running people like that. You've got Adams, who had over 10 prosecutors quit because Trump gave him a get out of jail free card. And you got, guy who's accused by a dozen women of sexual harassment. And his biggest defense was, well, that's less than Trump. You've got that. I mean, quite frankly, I think the second best human being in that race is Curtis Sliwa. I don't like his politics at all, but I saw him being interviewed. He said, he's turned mellowed out and become a pretty decent guy. He's basically telling them, hey, don't attack Mondami's religion or his culture, attack his policies, right?
Exactly.
It's So, you know, but they're not learning that lesson. The Democrats are, and then ex-Governor Patterson's trying to push Cuomo or Adams to get one of them to drop out. This is the point. This is the problem of the Democratic Party. It's filled with opportunists, selfish opportunists. You need to get rid of them. You know, these are the reason that you have it. Neither one is going to do it because they're into it for themselves. You need people like Mondami, but not that far left, but who are in, you know, into this. They need to figure this out. And so, you know, you've got somebody who's excited young people. They don't, you know, most of the young people voting for him probably couldn't even define socialism, but they do define somebody who goes on the street, talks to them, and they got to figure this out before the 2026 elections.
Right. And I think we need to bring in candidates who speak to people, like you're saying, preferably younger candidates. It's the people who are 70, 80 years old who have been in office 40 years who don't do anything. Time to move on, guys. Sorry.
Yeah.
And it's although, a while that we were worried about Dianne Feinstein was never going to leave.
Right. And she ended up dying in office. I mean, you know, it was just, part of me was feeling guilty about voting for Biden because I didn't think he would survive the second thing, you know. I think the job would have killed him. I think he's going to live. I actually wonder myself watching Trump if he's going to survive the term.
But, and Chuck Grassley, Republican senator of Iowa, turns 92 in a few months.
Yeah.
He's going to die in office too. He will never leave.
I mean, Strom Thurmond, he was over 100. I mean, it's just we've got this problem there. I don't necessarily support term limits. I think people should have the right to vote for whoever they want, but they should think, you know, voters should think, you know what? He's been in there a long time.
I support ego limits. If you've been in too long and you're over 70, it's time to move on.
Yeah.
Leads us to predictions. Go ahead, Eric.
No, you can say it. Go ahead.
All right. This leads us to our predictions this week. And my predictions is the big BS bill is going to start to get out what it actually is. People in red counties, especially elder Republicans, are going to start freaking out when they realize they're going to lose 20% of their Medicaid services, possibly the rural hospitals, and 20% of their food subsidies through SNAP. And I don't know how that's going to play over well, that, hey, billionaires get a tax break paid for by you and I.
Okay, I'm going to make a prediction. I mean, there's been hypocrisy. We've always had DeSantis and now Abbott. They're all for FEMA when it's red states, but they oppose it when it's blue states. Right. Kristi Noem has actually doubled down on her call to axe FEMA, but then she wants to recreate it somehow in something new, just basically to prove that she did something. I think this latest event is going to basically take the wind out of the sails of any Republicans wanting to take away FEMA. It has to be done by an act of Congress, and I think that it's not going to happen. That's my prediction. I think that this latest incident is going to put an end to that, but we'll see if that comes
through. Sorry, Eric, you seem to be confused again. You mentioned that word Congress. We don't have a Congress right now. There is no active Congress because we have no Congress.
Well, we'll see if any of that comes true. Until next time, stay informed and stay engaged.